Laura Kanoy here. Thanks for listening to The Exchange. You'll hear several viewpoints and many interesting questions in this hour from people all over the state. There's no other place in New Hampshire where such a broad array of Granite Staters chime in and foster such a robust exchange of ideas. And as important as you are to the depth of the conversation, you also play a pivotal role in NHPR's finances. We're radio for New Hampshire by New Hampshire. Please click the support button at the top of the page at nhpr.org. From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. Question one on your ballot this year seeks to amend New Hampshire's Constitution in a way both simple and yet profound. The amendment would prohibit the legislature from adopting an income tax, which seems unlikely right now, given that both candidates for governor say they'd veto one. But 13 years ago, the New Hampshire House did vote in favor of such a tax, although the bill later died. Now supporters of question one say enshrining the no-income tax policy in our Constitution would prohibit future legislatures from taking a similar step and maintain what they call the New Hampshire advantage. And amendment backers say that's to everyone's benefit, arguing that our lack of an income tax keeps our government small and our economy competitive. Meanwhile, opponents of question one doubt those benefits and say that this amendment would deny new generations of politicians the flexibility to address problems as they see fit. Today in The Exchange, the quarrel over question one. Let's hear from you. How do you feel about this amendment? And what questions do you have about it? Should our longtime no income tax policy be written into our Constitution or not? Give us a call. Tell us what you think. The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Send us a short email if you'd like, exchange@nhpr.org, or post a comment on our Facebook page. We have two guests in studio. Brad Cook is here, senior partner at the Shee and Finney Bass and Green Law Firm, and an opponent of the income tax amendment. Cook writes a column, Cook on Concord, for the New Hampshire Business Review. And Brad, nice to see you. Welcome back.
Thank you, Laura. Nice to be here.
Also with us, Kevin Smith, former Republican gubernatorial candidate, and now a leader in the Yes on One effort to permanently ban an income tax in New Hampshire. And Kevin, good to see you too, and welcome back.
Laura, thanks for having me back on. It's nice to be with you, and also great to be in the studio with Brad as well, and nice to see him in another form besides the gym in the morning.
Thank you. Yes. Glad you didn't say good to see me with my clothes on.
I want to start off with just what this amendment says, because sometimes when we talk about these amendments, it's good to just hear what the language is. So let me read that if I could, and then I'll ask you guys what you think about it. Here's the amendment that you'll see on your ballot. Notwithstanding any general or special provision of this Constitution, the general court, that means the legislature, shall not have the power of authority to impose and levy any assessment, rate, or tax upon income earned by any natural person. However, nothing in this article shall be construed to prohibit any tax in effect January 1, 2012, or adjustment to the rate of such tax. That's pretty much it. Kevin Smith, let me start with you. Why do you think this is a good idea?
Sure. Well, Laura, first off, you know, when I was running for governor in campaigning, what really struck me is that how many few voters actually knew this question was on the ballot this November. And that's why I got involved with this effort, is really to educate the voters about what this question means and to let them know that they have an opportunity to finally weigh in on this question of should New Hampshire have an income tax or not. The reason why I think this amendment is a good idea is even though we don't have an income tax right now, as you pointed out, all there needs to be is an ideological shift in either the legislature or the governor's office, and we could have one tomorrow. As you mentioned, the New Hampshire House 13 years ago passed an income tax. Governor Shaheen, even though she ran on the pledge when she was running for governor, switched at one point to wanting a sales tax. So it's not out of the purview of governors or legislatures to change their mind. What this amendment would do is it would say, regardless if there's an ideological shift in the legislature or governor's office, it would prevent from them passing an income tax, because we've really enjoyed a huge economic advantage here in New Hampshire by not having an income tax over the years. You know, we have a much more sound tax structure than any of the surrounding states, and have really weathered recessions better than the New England states because we don't have a broad-based income or sales tax. And this amendment just makes sure that in the future, we're not going to have one either.
And I'm sure we'll dig into those economic advantages that you see, Kevin, throughout the hour. But Brad Cook, to you, why is this such a bad idea?
Well, understand what this does. This is an amendment to the Constitution. It's not a debate over a particular statute or a particular proposal. Our Constitution has been around since the late 1700s. In fact, the First Amendment to the section of the Constitution that this addresses, which is Part 2, Article 5 of the Constitution. I don't want to get too boring about constitutional law, but oh, gee whiz, that's the structural document of our government. The First Amendment was in 1793. The Constitution was before that. So it's worked. And not to drone on, but Article 5 of Part 2 says, full power and authority are given to the said general court from time to time to make, ordain, and establish laws, statutes, ordinances, directions, and instructions, and then down, and to impose and levy proportional and reasonable assessments, rates, and taxes upon all the inhabitants and residents of the state. That gives general power to the legislature, which is now 424 people, subject to the veto of the governor, the right to pass laws with flexibility. This would shoot with a rifle, this amendment, and take one proposal that people either support or oppose, and frankly, people have opposed. We don't have an income tax. This section must have worked the way it is because we don't have one from the beginning till now. And to say we're going to embed one piece of tax policy in the Constitution where the legislature has the general power to run the government and pass the laws is incongruous.
Well, and I hear that you seem to be saying your biggest opposition is, look, don't mess with the Constitution. Let the legislature and the governor decide policy. Is that it, Brad? Is that your main opposition to this?
Well, that's part of it. Part of it is, yes, fundamentally, structurally, legally, that's the main objection. But the other objection is what Kevin says is the argument that has held sway in New Hampshire forever.
This is the supposed economic advantages of
New
Hampshire.
The so-called New Hampshire advantage, it's supposedly based on taxes, and it probably is partially based on taxes. But I remember in 1972, when New Hampshire's economy had changed from a manufacturing and agricultural one to one based on whole different kinds of businesses, when the legislature saw fit to change the tax structure as to businesses and get rid of something called the stock and trade tax, which thought that businesses' success was based on the amount of property it owned, machinery and inventory, and change it to a profits tax, which is an income tax on business, because that was how the economy had evolved. I don't know how the economy is going to evolve, and I don't know what the circumstances are going to be. Why should these 424 people this year put a constitutional amendment before the people that's going to keep 424 people 20 years from now from dealing with the situations as they then find them?
And Kevin, this is a big argument that you hear. Why should we now, sitting here in 2012, tie the hands of future generations who may want the flexibility to adapt to problems as they see fit?
Well, let me address this in a couple of points, Laura. First is that, you know, when people say, oh, we shouldn't, you know, there's one of two ways that we're going to have an income tax in the state of New Hampshire. One way is the way I talked about in the opening, which was, you know, we have an ideological shift in the legislature and a governor that supports an income tax, and they get into office and we have one. And I think that's the last way anyone would want to see us have an income tax. This argument of, well, we don't want to, you know, tie the hands of future legislatures. Look, if we ever had an economic calamity such that everyone suddenly agreed that an income tax was right for New Hampshire, you know, Republicans, Independents, Democrats all said the only way out of this problem is through having an income tax. Well, it would be easy enough at that point to then repeal this amendment in the Constitution, 67%, and then pass it in the next legislative session. And if anyone says, well, that 67% is such a high mark to achieve, well, then I would say, then it certainly isn't a big enough economic calamity that you need an income tax if you can't get 67% of the people to agree that we should have one. But that being said, I would go back to stressing that New Hampshire has enjoyed such a huge advantage by not having an income tax over so many other states. I mean, if you look at the last two states to implement an income tax, Connecticut and I believe the state of New Jersey, I bet they wish they had this amendment, because all that's done, all that having an income tax is done in those states has served to grow the size of state government, has served to grow state spending. New Hampshire has kept its government in check, has ensured a limited government by not having a broad-based income tax. If you look at Lowell Weicker, the governor of Connecticut back in the 1990s, who passed that income tax there, over a decade later, he was giving an interview to one of the Connecticut newspapers in which he lamented the legislature there for doing exactly what he wished they wouldn't have done with the revenues from an income tax, and that was grow the size of state government. It didn't offset any other taxes in the state of New Hampshire. And if anyone thinks that by having a broad-based tax, by implementing a broad-based tax in the state, it's somehow going to offset other taxes here in the state. There's not another state where that's actually happened. All that happens is that government expands to absorb more revenue that comes in, and that's what would happen here in the state of New Hampshire. This also sends a signal to the business community as well by not having an income tax, which I think is very important and can't be understated. You know, not having an income tax in New Hampshire just isn't a political issue. It's really an economic issue as well. And, you know, I know Brad may disagree with the point of this not being a referendum question, but I think many people can look at this as a referendum. And frankly, I think the two parties are going to look at this vote as a referendum on an income tax.
Certainly, even though it's not officially a referendum, you're saying right. It's a de facto referendum on this longstanding question that we've gone back and forth on over the years.
I think so, because we've had many conversations about an income tax. You know, and the points probably don't need to be, you know, relitigated here today, even though we are talking about it. The reality is a lot of people have looked at this issue. And I think, you know, certainly if it gets less than 50%, and I don't think it's going to, but if it were to get less than 50%, you know that there would be folks on the left who support an income tax that would point to this and say, aha, see, the people of New Hampshire, they do support an income tax in our state. So I think this will largely be looked at as a referendum issue on the ballot this year.
Well, and I do want to get into the economics, but we got to go to a break real quickly. So instead, Brad Cook, I'll just ask you, what about this idea that at a bare minimum, this amendment, this question on our ballot, question one, gives us a chance to maybe resolve this debate that we've been having forever?
I'm not sure debates that you've had forever should be resolved, because that's why they're debates, number one. Number two, this referendum idea is a trap, because Charlie Ellinghouse says in the Union Leader this morning, don't worry, it's not going to pass, so vote for it, so tell them you don't want an income tax. That's very dangerous. It's amending the Constitution.
Our phone number here in the exchange is 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. You can send us a short email, too, if you'd like. Give us your questions and comments on this question one that you'll see on your New Hampshire ballot, whether or not New Hampshire's longtime no-income tax policy should be written into our Constitution. We want your thoughts, questions, comments, 1-800-892-6477, email exchange at nhpr.org, and we'll hear from you after a very short break.
I'm John Broderick. I'm the dean of the law school at the University of New Hampshire. I've been a longtime listener of public radio. It's part of my daily diet. I listen in the morning, I listen in the evening, and whenever I can in between. Because if I want to know what's happening in our state or in our nation, and I want it to be delivered in an intelligent, thoughtful, informed way, they're the source.
That source right here, New Hampshire Public Radio. People all over the state and the region recognize the importance of this program as a news and public affairs discussion show that keeps us all up to date on important issues. I'm Abby Goldstein. I'm here with Sarah Ashworth. And the number to call is 1-888-805-6477 or nhpr.org to support The Exchange and all of the work that we do here on New Hampshire Public Radio. Today, talking about question one on the ballot around a state proposal to ban income tax permanently. This is a critical issue on this ballot. You are going to be asked to make a decision when you go in the voting booth. And because you've listened to this show, you will be informed about what this all means when you step into that voting booth. That is worth something. That is worth $10 a month. NHPR.org.
It's not easy to find information like this, an in-depth hour-long discussion on a ballot initiative that you will have to vote on in November. On The Exchange, the most expensive element in producing a show like it 5 days a week is time. To make sure the interviews are as interesting and informative as they are, the producers and researchers spend hours lining up the right guests, researching the issues involved. Laura spends a lot of time reviewing notes and reading books and digesting any information that may be useful. Producers Keith and Ellen spend a lot of of time researching the right sort of information for Laura to have at her fingertips. Time is money, and your money helps ensure that we have the time to put together this kind of show, this kind of broadcast, right here on NHPR. We're asking you to support it today. You do so by going online to nhpr.org.
Or give us a call at 1-888-805-6477. There is a challenge on the table today. A group of longtime supporters, including Chris Dwyer and Michael Huxtable, want to give us $2,000. They have said, here's $2,000 to pay for the programs. But in order to achieve that, in order to get that $2,000, we've got to raise $20,000 by 1 o'clock today. That's just a few hours away. They want to help your donation go further. But in order to do that, you've got to contribute now. We just have $9,000 to go to meet this challenge. We are over the halfway point, but you could be a hero right now and come riding over the hill and save the day by making your gift at nhpr.org or 1-888-805-6477.
Any dollar amount helps get us closer to that $20,000 mark that we need to hit by 1 o'clock today. As much as you know about New Hampshire, there's always something more to learn. That's why the Exchange invites local guests into the studio to talk about local issues, politics, and ideas. From HHS Commissioner Nick Tumpas to New Hampshire economists, NHPR brings you the local voices that you want to know better. This kind of programming is expensive to produce. It takes a lot of time to put together this sort of hour-long program, and your support is so vital to keeping it on the air, keeping a local news-driven program on NHPR. You do it with every donation you make. Your support helps keep it on the air. Call 1-888-805-6477 or make a pledge online at nhpr.org.
And during an election like this, we budget a little extra so that the Exchange can produce debates and forums and our election night broadcast that's hosted by Laura Kanoy and produced by executive producer Keith Shields. We make sure that we have the necessary resources to bring you the up-to-the-minute information that you need to know about on election night. Your gift right now is going to help cover some of the costs to cover the elections in 3 weeks. So make that call right now. Make that gift of support. Help us meet this challenge. 1-888-805-6477, nhpr.org.
And your support helps keep the coverage going even after November 6th. Once we have new lawmakers in place, NHPR will be there to bring you the latest coverage and developments out of the State House and out of Washington. Your support makes that possible. We have $8,800 left to go to meet our $20,000 challenge by 1 o'clock today. When we do, we'll receive an extra $2,000. Your support helps get us to that $20,000 mark. Make your pledge at nhpr.org, and thanks.
Support for NHPR comes from you, our members, and support also comes to us from Raff Young and Pignatelli, celebrating 25 years of innovative client-focused solutions for businesses and nonprofits throughout New England, rafflaw.com. From the New Hampshire Institute of Politics and Political Library at St. Anselm College, New Hampshire's home for politics, online at anselm.edu/NHIOP. And Goff Wilson, a global immigration law firm helping businesses and individuals achieve successful immigration solutions, online at goffwilson.com. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, we're examining the arguments for and against permanently banning an income tax in New Hampshire. Ballot question one asks voters this question: should New Hampshire prohibit an income tax? In next month's election, Granite Staters will have to vote yes or no on this proposed change to the state's constitution. Let's get your thoughts in now. 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. Brad Cook is here, senior partner at the Sheehan Finney Bass and Green Law Firm and an opponent of the income tax amendment, along with Kevin Smith, former Republican gubernatorial candidate and a leader in the Yes on One effort to permanently ban an income tax in the Granite State. And again, our number for you to join us is 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page. And gentlemen, let's go to Tim in Durham first. Hi, Tim. You're first on the air. Go ahead. Thanks for calling.
Oh well. I was a New Hampshire state income tax, like the income tax the other states would probably be based on what we're already filling out, you know, for our 1040s on the federal income tax return. And the federal income tax is designed to, you know, we have a lower rate for capital gains. So, you know, investments in business are supposedly paid for pre-tax dollars. If you hire workers, it's paid for out of pre-tax dollars. But also,
what about this New Hampshire question, Tim? I think that's what we're talking about.
Well, something that's near to dear to, I guess, Kevin Smith's heart is families with children. He was formerly the head of the Cornerstone Research, which ostensibly is a pro-family lobby, although it's become more sort of a just a pro-Republican lobby, which is fine. But I'm just trying to figure out how are families with children helped by, instead of having a income tax, state income tax, which presumably would probably give a break for families with children, just like the federal income tax does, as opposed to the current tax system, which relies primarily on the local on the property tax and then also the business taxes, which are very different.
Okay,
from the federal.
Tim. So not liking this idea. You think an income tax is a good idea for New Hampshire? Is that what I'm hearing from you?
Well, it's worked in 44 other states, and I mean, I think it's politically improbable, but it's we're already filling out, you know, the federal income tax. They've done, you know, all the heavy lifting for the state. You know, in other states, they.
Tim, I think I get your point, and I appreciate your call. What do you think, Kevin Smith? It's worked in other states. Their economies haven't fallen apart. The sky has not fallen. Is this really going to be so terrible for New Hampshire?
Well, Laura, I don't think it has worked in 44 other states. You look at states like California and New York, and California's economy has fallen apart, and they do have an income tax. New York has an income tax as well. Look at New Jersey. Great example. New Jersey, highest property taxes in the 1970s. Governor and legislature sold the people there during that time of on an income tax to bring down the rate of property taxes there. You know, you fast forward 30 years, New Jersey still has the highest property taxes per capita in the entire country. On top of that, what started out as a 2% income tax today is now a 9% income tax. So this notion, again, that the tax burden on the average taxpayer out there has been relieved by states that have enacted income taxes just isn't true. In fact, the tax burden has gone up. You know, there was a commission in 2001 that was established by Governor Shaheen that actually looked at this as part of the whole Claremont decision and education funding issue to look at different ways of taxation in the state of New Hampshire. It was really a comprehensive review of it.
The Blue Ribbon Commission, I remember.
Yeah, the Blue Ribbon Commission that actually I think most people would agree, if you look at the folks that were on it, probably tilted a little bit left. You know, these were not folks who were anti-income tax by any means. But I just want to read you two quotes from that particular report in 2001. It was led by economist Robert Tannenwald, someone who is considered to be more of a liberal economist. Two things it said in it. One is that the substitution of a comprehensive income tax for local property taxes would diminish the progressivity of New Hampshire's revenue system, and then went on to say that the commission's analysis reveals that a comprehensive income tax based on AGI used for federal taxation purposes would be less progressive than the pre-Claremont New Hampshire tax system. And one of the reasons for that is because the reality is, you know, right now, if you have middle and low income renters, people who don't own a home, they're not paying property taxes right now. But these are folks who need to keep every penny they're earning so that they can own a home one day. If you have an income tax in the state of New Hampshire, these folks get hit as well. So now you're going to the folks who need to keep as much money as they can and saying, well, now you're going to be taxed. You're going into the group as well. And on top of that, when they can finally afford to have a home, they're still going to be paying property taxes, local property taxes in whatever town they choose to live in. So again, this idea that it's quote unquote worked in 44 other states. No, I think it's worked in the state of New Hampshire, where we don't have an income tax because our overall tax burden is still one of the lowest in the country.
44th, I think, according to the Tax
it
Foundation.
Yeah,
and Brad, what do you think? What example do other states give us when we examine this question for the Granite State?
Well, I'm going to take a pass on that question because I'm not here to debate whether one income tax is good and another income tax is bad. I would say, as most red-blooded Americans would say, I hate all taxes and I don't like paying any.
Amen.
Of them. But we have to pay for government and we have to do it. Certainly, any particular tax or any particular example of another state is dependent on what its legislature decides to spend money on. We have 424 people who get to make that decision. It's a democratic system. I would certainly hope any change in taxation would look at the whole tax system, not just adding a tax to something else, because that's just That's a self-fulfilling prophecy. The whole tax burden will go up. But this amendment is about removing one option from the many, 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 many revenue sources in the Constitution from a legislature with 424 people who are supposed to look at the whole structure. So I think the caller's debating the wrong thing. He's debating legislation that might be before the legislature if there was a proposal for an income tax, which there isn't.
Let's take another call. Tim, thanks for that one. Our number, 1-800-892-6477. Patrice is calling in from Manchester. Hi, Patrice. Thanks for waiting. You're on the air.
Hi. I have two comments.
Sure.
One, just to what the speaker just said about renters not paying property taxes. Renters pay property taxes indirectly by paying rent. And obviously some of that rent goes towards property taxes.
So the cost is put into the rent. Yeah, go ahead, Patrice.
Right. And the other comment I have is I'm going to vote no on the amendment because the word income tax is not clear to me. Because you can have income tax on interest and dividend income. You can have an income tax businesses pay income taxes. I think if we're going to have an amendment, it needs to define what kind of income taxes.
Well, Patrice, if it were clear, how would you feel about it? Should we permanently ban an income tax or not?
I don't think we should permanently ban any taxes because we're always going to need taxes, and I think the legislature should have the option to impose taxes on whatever, property or interest income or rental income.
Okay. Patrice, thanks a lot for calling in. Brad Cook, you want to jump in? Kevin Smith,
I
want to hear from you, too.
I think the callers should read the amendment. I think the amendment's fairly clear. That's one of the reasons I don't like it. It's shooting with a rifle. It says income on...
I've got it right here, actually.
It says assessments, rates, or tax upon income earned by any natural person. Well, I think that means an individual income tax, not a business income tax. It also says it's not to eliminate any present tax or any increase in a present tax. When you look at that, I think it's clear what it says. You can't have a personal income tax in New Hampshire. What does that mean? It means every other tax can go up, but that tax isn't available to you. So your interest and dividends tax, which for all those retirees living off of interest and dividends as opposed to a pension, their tax can go up and the other guy doesn't have to pay.
Well, since you mentioned business taxes, Kevin, and you mentioned business taxes before, too, here's a question. We often hear from New Hampshire businesses that our business taxes here in the Granite State are too high, and yet if we don't have an income tax, what other options are there? I'm wondering if, you know, you're cutting off that source of revenue and that makes business taxes more burdensome.
Sure. Well, I do want to just I will address that, but I just want to get back to what Patrice's question was. And by the way, if Brad says the question is clear as an attorney, that it must be a clear question. And I do know the legal counsels from both the Senate and the House did fully vet this to make sure that it was didn't get into the issues that Patrice talked about. I appreciate Patrice's honesty with wanting to keep options on the table, because I do think ultimately at the end of the day, those folks who say they oppose this because they don't want to tie the hands of future legislatures also in some sense maybe support having an income tax as well because they want that. And really what that is saying is we want to leave the option on the table for future legislatures if they want to exercise that particular option. And on the issue, you know, she does bring up a point about the property taxes being built into the rent. However, it is also rent is also market driven as well. So they can't just, you know, build excessively into the renting price what the property taxes are. With the issue of the business taxes, I mean, look, I agree. Business taxes are too high in our states. One of the things that was the cornerstone of my campaign was bringing down our business tax rate. And I would say that just because, you know, the option of an income tax would be entirely off the table by having it in the Constitution doesn't mean automatically that other taxes are necessarily going to go up. In fact, I said if you lowered our business taxes, you would actually bring in more revenue from that particular tax because you would have more economic development, your economic base expands, and so over time you could bring in more revenues by actually decreasing your business taxes.
And Brad, what do you say to those businesses and individuals who say, yeah, you know, I could have moved to Massachusetts, Maine, Vermont, or New Hampshire. I did choose New Hampshire because I'm attracted to the state precisely because of our low tax climate.
Well, Kevin's right that the business tax situation in New Hampshire, when you analyze it, and I'm Secretary of the Business and Industry Association, so I hear about this all the time, we have one of the higher business tax climates in New England.
But does the lack of an income tax offset that and make us more attractive
probably,
to businesses, as Kevin said?
That's an individualized analysis that people have to do. I mean, we have plenty of people living in Massachusetts, Maine, and Vermont who come into New Hampshire to work, so they're paying an income tax already. And last time I checked, our economy probably is better than any of their economies, although I think the Massachusetts economy is very interesting right now vis-a-vis ours. And I think one of the concerns I have, and this is a whole different subject, but the nature of the New Hampshire economy and how it's changing. If you see Steve Norton's most recent report, we're not the 1980s anymore. And so couple that with the federal government's need to get its spending under control, which is obvious, and that will affect how much money comes from the federal government to the states. I don't think it's a good time for us to be saying we got to take one of our options off the table. That being said, I'm no big fan of putting on an income tax, but this is a constitutional amendment we're talking about, not the merits of a particular tax proposal.
Our phone number again is 1-800-892-6477. Patrice, thanks for joining us. Let's take another one. This is Larry in Berlin. Hi, Larry. You're on the air. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Laura.
Morning. Go ahead.
I have a question for your guest, and I realize that, you know, they're not member of the Moody's or anything like that, but would passing in a constitutional amendment like this have any effect on the state's bond rating? And that's really the only question I have right now about the income tax, okay?
Well, how do you feel about it, Larry? I'm just curious. You're a voter? You're going to have to decide.
Yes, I'm a voter, and I really feel I don't think that's the kind of thing we want to have written into the Constitution. I think it's unnecessarily handcuffing the state, and I think the bond rating is just one of the ways that that I think this would kind of like backfire on us, you know?
Okay, Larry, thanks for the call. And the bond rating issue, Kevin Smith, has come up. Go ahead,
it has,
please.
And that's a great question. You know, at the end of the day, if we were to pass this, the bond rating agencies would probably see this as a mild negative at worst, because they like to see that states have capacity if an economic calamity were to ever occur. And so the fact that we do have this still as an option on the table that can be exercised at any time, if we were to take it off the table, they'd see it generally as a mild negative. But what bond rating agencies look at more so is the ratio of debt to what your overall general fund budget is. And in that instance, New Hampshire is one of the best in the country. You know, where this would affect a state a lot more if they were to do what we're trying to do right now by putting this into the Constitution, a state like California or New York, states that have exercised every option and have really nothing left on the table, and are in the, yet their debt to, you know, budget ratio is still so much out of proportion. New Hampshire has shown that it can balance its budget without having any kind of a broad-based tax in our state. And so, again, if we were to do this, at best, it's a mild negative, or at worst, it's a mild negative from the bond rating agencies. But there's other bigger issues there that they'll be looking at.
Larry, thanks a lot for the call. Again, our number, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. And we've heard during the hour from a couple opponents of this question one on our New Hampshire ballot. If you're listening and you like the idea of permanently banning an income tax, give us a call. Tell us what you think. The exchange number is 1-800-892-6477, and we'll be right back.
$30 a month isn't a lot of money when you compare it to some of the bills that land in your mailbox. Phone, internet, TV, those add up to more than $100 every month. And you make the payment without even thinking about it. And you should, because you use them every day and they're important to your life. But consider, too, you also use NHPR every day. And because you do, why not make one of those days your day? Well, that's kind of what happens when you become an NHPR Day sponsor. We'll thank you for your $30 a month sustaining gift with a personal message we'll air three times on a day of your choosing to celebrate a birthday or an anniversary. But right now, celebrate NHPR by becoming a Day sponsor. Here's how.
You can call 1-888-805-6477 or go online to nhpr.org. Become a Day sponsor at the $30 a month level. Good morning. I'm Sarah Ashworth here with Abby Goldstein, and we want to welcome you to our fall fun drive. We are in the middle of a Wednesday morning challenge. A group of longtime supporters, including Chris Dwyer and Michael Huxtable, will contribute $2,000 when we raise $20,000 by 1 p.m. p.m. That's an extra $2,000 for NHPR. They want to help your donation go a little bit further, but you have to contribute now. We have $8,700 left to go by 1 o'clock. This is very doable, something we can only do with your support, though. Call 1-888-805-6477. Let's take just a short minute to recognize Laura Kanoy. She is, as you know, as a dedicated listener, the host of The Exchange. She's here at 7 every morning, researching, reading, preparing. She approaches her job with enthusiasm, professionalism, and we can all see a thirst for knowledge. She knows how to get answers to the tough questions. As she considers what questions to ask, she also thinks about what the response will be and how to best follow up each of those questions. And that's the talent that is very helpful to you at this time of year during an election season. She asks the questions that you want asked. Support Laura Kanoy and The Exchange and all of the programming that you hear at NHPR. Make a pledge at NHPR.org.
1-888-805-6477 is the phone number if you prefer to just give us a call. And, you know, your $10 a month or $20 a month or $100 a month goes directly to support the costs of producing The Exchange and having the best talent and the resources necessary, the research tools necessary to bring you these programs. And this challenge that we're working on today from this group of donors is intended to keep us on track to end this drive successfully. Just being completely transparent about it, we are a little bit behind where we need to be. So it is very critical that we hit this challenge today and raise that full $20,000 by 1 o'clock. We have just $8,700 to go. So pledge by pledge, person by person, let's see if we can hear from seven people at the $10 a month level, and that will get us down to the $8,000 mark. So make your gift right now. Everybody has a role to play in the success of NHPR and bringing you this service every day like The Exchange. So make that call right now. Make that gift online. NHPR.org, 1-888-805-6477.
We're going to get there. We're going to hit that $20,000 mark by 1 o'clock, but we're only going to do it when we hear from listeners just like you. You can pledge at any level that fits your budget, the $5 a month level, the $10 a month level. If you can give at the $30 a month level, as we heard earlier, you can become a day sponsor of NHPR, where we will read whoever you would like to dedicate the day to throughout the day on NHPR. That's at the $30 a month level. We have other premiums and thank you gifts. When you give a gift today, you can go online to NHPR.org and see all of those options. But the important thing is that you pick up the phone or go online and make that pledge now. You can do that by calling 1-888-805-6477.
And you know, New Hampshire is considered a small state, but good things come in small packages, right? And just because we're small doesn't mean that we don't understand the importance of the democratic process. And that is why we have news and public affairs on the radio. That is why we have The Exchange. That is what you support, keeping everybody in the state informed. Make your gift at NHPR.org or call us 1-888-805-6477.
Support for NHPR comes from UR members and from Collins Dentistry for Children, treating the dental needs of infants through teens in southern New Hampshire, with locations in Nashua and Pelham. Details at collinsdentistry.com. And the Altus Investment Group in Concord, offering the only investment management and helping individuals invest in socially responsible companies, online at altusinvest.com. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, we're discussing question one on your New Hampshire ballot next month. It's a proposed amendment to the state constitution that would permanently ban an income tax. We're talking about it right now, and we want your thoughts, questions, comments. 1-800-892-6477. 1-800-892-NHPR. Emails are welcome. exchange@nhpr.org. Or you can also post your comments on our Facebook page. We have two guests, Kevin Smith, former Republican gubernatorial candidate, a leader of the Yes on One effort to ban income taxes, along with Brad Cook, senior partner in the Sheehan Finney Bass and Green law firm, and as we've been hearing, an opponent of this income tax amendment. One more time, the exchange number is 1-800-892-6477. And gentlemen, let's go right back to our callers, Phil's in Hanover. Hi, Phil. Thanks for joining us. Go ahead.
Yeah, I have question. I'm not committed one way or the other. But in terms of variables, apart from the current extremism of Republicans, what has changed in the last 230 years since the adoption of the Constitution that now requires such an amendment when it never has been before?
Okay. Thanks for the question. Phil, Kevin, that's for you.
Well, again, Laura, you know, I think we've had many conversations in our state about this particular issue, and I think more and more the consensus is becoming clear, again, both among Republicans and Democrats. I mean, look, you have a Democratic candidate right now that took the pledge running for governor. You know, even though she supported an income tax in the past, she obviously recognizes now that this is something that, you know, not having an income tax has been very beneficial to the state of New Hampshire. That being said, as I said in the beginning of this the show, we're seeing now more and more of these wave elections, which have the propensity to put in folks of ideologies on both sides. And the reality is you could get an election where you have a pro-income tax legislature and a pro-income tax governor or someone who changes their mind and decides to support an income tax. More than ever, I think we need to protect that New Hampshire economic advantage, and that advantage is having a limited government, guaranteeing that state spending isn't going to get out of control by not having this broad-based income tax, which is why I think it's more important than ever to put this in the state constitution. And look, nothing's permanent, as I said before. Even though this would make it a much higher threshold to have an income tax in the state of New Hampshire, if we ever did reach the point, again, where suddenly everyone agreed that an income tax would be good for our state, you could always go back, repeal the amendment, and then pass it through the legislative process. And if it was that important and that needed, you could do that, and that would happen. But I think it should be that high threshold. I don't think it should be now just based on an ideological whim of a legislature and governor.
What do you think, Brad Cook?
Well, I think the caller's question kind of presumes the answer. Nothing's changed that would necessitate this. And as to the pass the amendment, because if you need to get rid of it, you can unpass it, the crisis would then be exacerbated for 2, 3, 4 years for the period of time that it takes to get a head of steam up and get the constitutional amendment reversed so that the new legislature could then meet and then pass an income tax. And that's no way to deal with a crisis in the age of instant communication.
Kevin, real quick, what do you think about that? Because that's a direct counter to what you said a couple times.
I think in this instance,
it's a slow process.
And you know what? To pass an income tax in our state, I think it should be a slow process. I mean, this is a big deal if we were to ever have an income tax, because we've touted for so long New Hampshire's economic advantage in the business community of not having a broad-based income tax on our citizens. And so I think when you're talking about as big a deal as this, it should be a process that would have to meet a high threshold and should take some time, again, as opposed to just it being on a whim through the legislative process and a governor that supports it.
Let's take another call. And this is Todd waiting in Litchfield. Hi, Todd. Thanks for joining us. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. Great topic. I support the amendment. I know one of the things that focuses my attention on my own budget is the fact that my finances are finite. I have to make tough decisions and prioritize, and I think New Hampshire legislatures have been very good at that in the past. I can understand why they find it frustrating, and a lot of them might want to change it, and they would love to have a large bucket of money from a general fund. I think Mr. Smith was also very correct in pointing out that this has not solved most other states' fiscal problems. It only tends to compound them. So I definitely think it has worked in the past, and it makes our legislatures have to make tough decisions and be very resourceful.
Todd, thanks a lot for the call. And Brad Cook, you know, Caroline McKinney, chair of the Republican Liberty Caucus, agreed with what Todd just said. She said if taxes are limited by law, lawmakers will be forced to get more creative in how they manage the business of the state. So that's her point. That's Todd's point. What do you think, Brad?
Well, we are at a point in New Hampshire, if I analyze it properly, and this is speaking as if I was a legislator, not going to the constitutional question, where we've pretty well tapped out our revenue sources. We've got two gubernatorial candidates who've taken the pledge. So if we had a swing, and if the swing were to result in either a sales or an income tax being passed, they'd veto it. I can't imagine any set of circumstances where they'd be overridden. So I think the focus for folks who are worried about frugality and who are worried about the kind of taxes should be with the legislature I think Todd should go vote for the candidates who agree with him in terms of how the state should be run. But putting this in the Constitution, leaving only business taxes, perhaps expanded gambling, perhaps a statewide property tax increase as the options for people, an increase in the rooms and meals tax, an increase in the interest and dividends tax, just takes something off the table that I don't think is ever going to be on the table.
Let's take one more call. Todd, thanks for that one. And this is Carl in Grantham. Hi, Carl. You're on The Exchange. Thanks for calling in. Go ahead.
Good morning. I'm a recent immigrant from Connecticut, where everything was totally and completely overtaxed. I moved my business to New Hampshire for this reason. And I think it's a very important subject. In Connecticut, we didn't have an income tax till the 90s. Then we were told it was temporary, and then it was permanent. And last year, they made a retroactive increase. And there's just no way to stop the legislature once you give them this power. Much the same thing happened with casinos and the money raised by casinos. It turned into spend, and the state's still running at a tremendous deficit. And I'm worried about that happening here.
Wow, Carl, so all those casinos didn't help you out, huh?
They did temporarily, and then all of a sudden, another $600 million a year is money to be spent.
So you picked up and moved your business to New Hampshire because of the low tax climate.
Yes, I did.
Okay, thanks a lot for calling.
And the advantage.
All right.
I appreciate it.
Thanks for calling in. Boy, this is Exhibit A for what you were talking about, Kevin Smith.
Well, yeah, it's what I talked about earlier with Governor Weicker from there talking about how all the casino gambling did and all the income tax did there was allow more spending for state government. You know, interesting statistic, prior to Connecticut having an income tax, they were 14th in the country in state and local taxes with a per capita burden of $2,900. And at that time, New Hampshire was $1,900. And in the first 4 years after an income tax, Connecticut jumped to the fourth highest state and local tax burden, where they've stayed ever since. So again, all an income tax did in that instance was to provide a gross expansion of state government and increased the tax burden on the local taxpayer.
Does that example worry you, Brad Cook?
So tell your legislators not to vote for an income tax.
But don't put it in the Constitution.
But don't put it in the Constitution.
That's it. All right. Carl, thanks for that call. Guys, I have just a couple quick wrap-up questions for you. And as I said, this is question one. It's going to be on the New Hampshire ballot. What do you think, Brad? You've been involved in the elections process for a long time. You're on the Ballot Law Commission. What do voters generally do when they see these amendments? Do they say, I don't understand that. I'm not going to fill in the oval? Do they fill in the oval randomly? How do they approach this?
I found out from being on the Ballot Law Commission that if you take it down to all of the voters, they do everything. They circle people's names. They point arrows. They write no way. They vote. They say, hey, he's an idiot. I mean, they do all kinds of stuff. But in terms
really?
Of, oh, yeah. When you're doing a recount, you learn all kinds
Can
of
you
things.
Can you put a book together of the greatest ballot hits?
It would be a long book. But in any event, the answer to your question is people, when they aren't educated on constitutional amendments and ballot questions, have a tendency either to skip them or to get them wrong, or if they happen to get it right, it's sometimes an accident.
You mean get them wrong, like they think they're voting yes and
they're voting
really
yes,
voting no.
They're voting no. The problem with constitutional amendments, and I'm not sure how you solve it, is they have to be vetted by lawyers. They have to be written with all these caveats so that they do work, and therefore they become inherently confusing. Somebody has to write a description of what they mean. The description then becomes controversial.
Yes.
But what I would urge people to do, whether they're going to vote for this or against this or the other two questions on the ballot, educate yourselves on them and knowingly and intelligently go in. I'm wearing a button that I got in the lobby here saying vote into intelligent. Educated voter. It says something. I can't read it from here. But
informed voter.
Informed voter. Thank you.
Which is what we're all about here.
But you're intelligent and educated as well, Brad.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. But an informed voter will educate himself or herself on these three questions and vote on them, not skip them. And I think Kevin and I would agree that we don't want them to skip them regardless.
And that's why we called you gentlemen in today. And that's why we did the program on Monday on question two concerning the judiciary. Real quick, Kevin Smith, how hopeful are you that this will actually reach the needed 67% of voters to approve it?
Well, 67% is a high threshold. And we certainly understand that, those of us who are in favor of this. And so that's, again, part of the reason why I got involved in this effort was to educate the voters about this particular question, let them know it's on the ballot. And really, you know, again, I know Brad doesn't like this example, but framing it as more of a referendum on an income tax and saying if you are opposed to an income tax, then you want to vote yes on question one. And if you're in favor of having an income tax as an option on the table, then you probably want to vote no on question one.
All right. Gentlemen, this has been great. Thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Laura.
This is The Exchange on NHPR. Let's check in now real quick with our fall membership drive.
Thank you, Laura. And that was a great case for support of New Hampshire Public Radio. Listening to a full hour-long discussion on this ballot question about a constitutional amendment on income tax is going to make you a more informed voter when you walk into that voting booth and have to make a decision on these ballot questions. So make that gift right now. I'm Abby Goldstein. I'm here with Sarah Ashworth, and we are looking at a challenge here. We're looking down the last couple of hours of our challenge, trying to raise $20,000. By 1 p.m. to get an additional $2,000. And Sarah, we have just now $7,800 to go. 3 hours left in this challenge. We need every single person within the sound of our voices to make your gift right now at nhpr.org.
This is crunch time, and it's also crunch time really for the election. There are just 20 days. It's hard to believe 20 days until November 6th, and you head to the voting booth, and programs like The Exchange make sure you go in there being a well-informed voter. Maybe you've been listening to NHPR for a few years now and programs like The Exchange, and you've heard these fund drives come and go, and you've just not made your gift. You've rationalized it in some way, but deep in the back of your mind is that little voice that's telling you that you really should donate. It's the voice of your moral compass, and as in most cases, that little voice of yours is right, and it's only going to get louder. Don't fight it. Listen to it. Make your gift now. You can do that by going to nhpr.org. It takes just a minute to do it online. It's quick and it's easy, and you'll feel so good the rest of the day helping us get to our challenge. Make your pledge online or call 1-888-805-6477.
We are looking for every single person at whatever amount is right for you to make your gift right now at nhpr.org or 1-888-805-6477. This challenge that Chris Dwyer, Michael Huxtable, and others have put on the table is intended to keep us on track to be successful in this fund drive. And we have fallen just a little bit behind where we need to be. So it is very important that you make your gift today and help us catch up and stay on track to be successful. When we achieve this challenge, that will help. It will go a long way. Your